It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
And welcome to the Utah Puck Report. Today's going to be a little bit special for me. I'm connecting with an old-time friend, a long-time coach, and we're going to find out about Junior A hockey, what's going on in Utah. We've got teams playing out of Vernal now, and things are just really looking up for hockey. So long-time friend, Joe Flager. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
All right. So, Joe, before we get into it, I want to tell people, and I don't remember what your role was, but I met you when I was playing at Weber State. And I think you were helping coach, or somehow you knew Phil Snyder and the boys.
Yep.
So that was 100 years ago, and you're still coaching. So you've been around hockey for a long time.
Still living the dream at 60.
Well, that's awesome. I know you've had the opportunity to help a lot of people, you know, live out their hockey dream and experience higher levels of hockey. For me, the first time I really remember interacting with you, and I don't remember the chronologically, if you sent us to a tournament first or if the first thing you did was send me, Phil Snyder, Casey Norris, and John Kuechel to El Paso, Texas to play professional roller hockey for the San Francisco Seals at the time.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was kind of a weird situation, but it was pretty fun, pretty cool, and a unique experience for us to get out there and play some professional roller hockey. And so, I mean, you've just always been willing.
Absolutely. It was, back in the early 90s, it was pretty big. And in fact, I think there was Salt Lake City got a professional roller hockey team. I want to say maybe 91 or 92. It was an outdoor arena at the Southtown Mall. In fact,
yeah,
a lot of the
Salt Lake Roller Bees.
That's right. And in fact, there was a couple of old time Salt Lake Golden Eagles players that played for them as well.
Yeah, they had Rich Chernomaz, Todd Harkins.
Yep.
Couple other people like that. Yeah, we had James Burdett who played for the.
I remember James well.
Yeah, we had him on the show recently. I'm going to get Andy Gannon on the show too. So we'll get into all the roller hockey stuff. I actually even had some roller hockey legends on. I had a guy named Rob Lowry, who was probably one of the best RHI players ever. He was on the show recently with a guy named Michael Hunt. And I'm going to have him back on the show. But he's like Canada's best ever roller hockey player. He's even their mascot for the logo. It's from when he scored a goal and did a celebration, and they made that the logo. So
that's awesome.
Now
that's
he calls classic. Himself the logo. Yeah, he's pretty right. Crazy. And he sells, his whole business is hockey cards and trading cards. And he's got like Gretzky's that are worth millions of dollars and all kinds of cards. So we're going to have him on and talk about just all the different cards. But Joe, the reason we have you on the show now is you're coaching a team and the team is new. The league is new. Yep. And I just don't think a lot of people in Utah really know what's going on. So this is an offshoot of what was the Western States Hockey League. You guys got a different league now.
Correct.
And I know, obviously there's drama or whatever that created this, but I just want to talk about what the league is now, the opportunities that are going on now, and the teams that you're involved with and how things are going. So can you kind of start us from the beginning and describe the league?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could tell you how the Vernal team came about real quick. And I it was in July, and I live in Duchesne, and it's middle of nowhere, but I got a call from Dave Imonic. And, in fact, it may have been a message on Messenger, but he said, "Hey, I'm thinking about putting a junior team in Vernal. And I understand that you live out in Duchesne, which is close to there." And I said, it is. And he says, "What do you think about putting a team out in Vernal?" I said, "You know what?" I said, that's the best thing that would ever happen to that town. It's almost the perfect town for a junior team. Cause you know, small towns, whenever you see a junior team, they're always usually in a small town because it gives the people of the community, you know, something to come to and cheer on. And Vernal was like almost the perfect spot. So, you know, Dave came down, we went in front of the county commissioners and sold them on the idea, and they were all positive about it and thought it would be a great idea. And that's basically how the team came about. And it was kind of late in the year, so we really had a push on to recruit players. And now I'll get into recruiting here, you know, after I tell you about how the league came about. But anyway, we joined the Western States Hockey League, and the Western States has been around for years. I think they started out in like 96, if I'm not mistaken. And back then they had a couple of Utah teams, and he's been around forever. Well, the previous year they shut down because of COVID. So a lot of teams jumped ship the previous year because, you know, they wanted to play. So a lot of them joined either the USPHL, which is another junior A league, and some joined the NA3, which again is another one.
Right.
And so there was only so many teams in the Western States League. In fact, there was five American teams and five Canadian teams. Well, long story short, because the league started so late, four of those five teams had trouble recruiting players. They just couldn't get them. They couldn't get enough. Most of them could only get maybe anywhere from 7 players to 12. Well, we went out and got 20, 25.
Wow.
We had a full roster plus. I mean, you could roster, I think the limit was 27. So when these teams started to fold, Dave and I discussed, you know, what the options were. And it really boiled down to two. And one, I mean, obviously we couldn't join the other leagues because they were already knee deep into the season. So A was either to join the Canadian division, which would mean not only a lot of travel, but the budget just went up probably 100-fold.
Right.
Or just fold the team and place the players in another league or other teams or whatever. But when Dave and I discussed that wasn't even an option. We worked too hard and put too much effort into recruiting these young players. And in our minds, it was, you know, we should continue on. And so we decided to jump into that Canadian provincial division. And so the first half of the season was played under the Western States Hockey League. Well, the Canadian teams decided that they wanted to go ahead and do it, you know, do a league on their own. They just thought it was a better fit for them. Nothing negative came about. I mean, it was a more of a positive thing. But now that left us having to follow, because obviously we're the only American team. So now we are the the Can-Am Junior Hockey League. Okay. And all five Canadian teams are based in Alberta. And of course we're here in Vernal. So we set up redid the schedule for the second half of the season, so it would benefit us as far as traveling. So this past 2 weeks, we played 10 games in 10 days.
Man.
And I'll tell you what, when you have 20 players, a full roster or a full bench, that's a grind. We did it with 10.
Right, because you had injuries, you had COVID.
We did. COVID, because in, to cross over into Canada, you have to show your vaccination card. You have to be vaccinated, and you have to show a negative COVID test within 72 hours prior to the trip. Well, five of the players, or maybe it was four, tested positive, and there was I think four or five others that didn't get vaccinated. So that left us, with half a team. So we went. I mean, we were obligated to go, and we did. And we knew playing with a short bench, it was going to be a challenge for the boys. I can't even explain, or I can't even tell you what they went through to play that many games in 10 days. But, you know, in the end, I mean, we went, we traveled to some of the teams that, well, Cold Lake, Alberta, Hinton, Barrhead, Edmonton, and Vegreville. And when we have our team bus, we took a bus there, and it was about 22 hours to Cold Lake. Cold Lake was they're further up north. And we played the first game. I think we lost 6-2, and it was 4-2. I think I got a couple of late goals, but, and we had that game, we had one injury. So now we're down to 9 skaters. The next day we went to Hinton, which was about a 6.5-hour drive on the bus. And we played them, and that was it was 7-6. That was actually a really good hockey game. And we had another injury. Now we're down to 8.
Holy cow.
And then we played that Friday against Edmonton. It was an afternoon game. And that was another close one. I want to say that was 8-6, maybe. And I can't remember the score exactly, but we got another injury that game. Now we're down to 7.
Wow. It's like a men's league tournament.
We knew. So what I had to literally go out and do, Dave and I discussed it, but we actually had to go out, recruit players out there, sign them. So we wouldn't play. You have to be realistic to play with 7 guys at this level. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, so we went out, we got for Saturday, we recruited 3 players. So we had 10 skaters. And I'm trying to remember who we played that game. I want to say it was Vegreville. And I can't remember the score of that game. We lost. I know we lost. And then Sunday afternoon, we went out and got 2 more players. We had 12 skaters for Sunday. I mean, it was almost, we were hoping that somebody would complain about ice time, you know?
Yeah.
And, but anyway, we won that game 8-3. And that was against Barrhead. And then Monday, those players that we recruited had jobs. So some of them couldn't play. And so on Monday, I think we had 8 skaters. Tuesday, we had 9. In fact, on Tuesday, we played Barrhead again, and we won that game. And that was, what was the score? I think it was 12-8.
Wow.
Yeah.
High scoring games.
Football score. You know, and then we went on, we finished 2-8, but you know, at the end of the day is like, you know, at that last game, I told the boys, I said, you know what, guys, I said, in junior hockey, especially, it's not about winning or losing. It's really about developing those kids to give them an opportunity to play at a higher level. And I told them, I said, you know, at the end of the day, if you can look in the mirror and just tell yourself that you did the best you could, guys, that's all that matters. It really does. You know, when you go out and you work hard and you have fun and you have a great experience, the winning will take care of itself. You know,
yeah, those kids will always remember this trip. Like
that, like and that
all Utah teams.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was going to say all Utah teams have experienced correct, this exact same kind of thing.
That is a great experience, Jay. I could tell you. again, the winning or losing, it didn't even matter. It's just the fact that we went out, they played hard. We went from town to town, seeing the history of these rinks and, you know, the different barns they played in. And, you know, some of the drives were 2.5 hours, some were 6.5 hours. And, but what, you know, I remember we woke up in Barhead, I think the next morning woke up, it was minus 35 degrees. It was so cold, the tires on the bus got stuck to the ice.
Whoa.
So all the players, we got out, all of them, and had to push the bus to get out of the ice. And, you know, when I seen that moment with all those boys pushing that bus, you know, you just seen the coming together, them gelling together
right.
at that one particular moment. And it's, you know, and that's difficult in this league. And in hockey sometimes, but to get a team to gel together. But I can remember a coach asking me, you know, what do you think one of the common denominators is in winning a championship? And I told him, I said, you know, the most challenging part is when you walk into the locker room in the beginning of the year, you have 21 different personalities sitting there. And your job as a coach is to somehow get that team to come together as one. And when you can accomplish that, it's unlimited to what those boys can do.
Right.
And those teams are special. And you could see this team here, it's exactly that. They're very, very special young men. I mean, the character of these guys is phenomenal. I mean, even when, you know, when we go and recruit, even myself, I don't just look at the skill of a player, but you also look at the character of the person, because it's important. I mean, as far as their attitudes and, you know, being positive and being having set goals and, talk about school and, you know, what are your long-term goals and what are your short-term goals? And again, in our mind, and Dave he's on the same page, but, you know, again, when we recruit these players, we tell them or we tell their parents, depending on how old they are, is that in the end, it's all about these kids, period. It's not about us as coaches. It's not about anything else, but only these kids, to make sure that we give them an opportunity, like I said, to develop them, to give them the opportunity to play at the highest level possible and make it a great experience for them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You talk about the team building, and it's the same in the fire service as it is in the Navy SEALs. If you have people of quality character on that roster that are in there, they can totally turn those events, because this road trip could have been miserable. Having to push your bus out of an ice block could be miserable. But if you have somebody in there that's positive, or a couple people in there, everything's a fun experience, and you grow from it.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is it, for them, it's a life experience. And, well, you know, Jay, hockey – I mean, I've coached football, baseball, you know, everything, but there's just something about that special about hockey players. And I mean, sometimes you can't pinpoint it, but, you know, they're just, I know, it's just special. And when you see these kids coming together as one and making it a great experience. And again, you could tell that to them, it was all about going out, working hard on the ice and having fun. And at the end of the day, we didn't care what the score was. But at the end of that trip on the way home, well, I'll give another example. Like our bus broke down in fact, it was the last game and it broke down a parking lot. We didn't know what it was. And you know, the kids could have been in a bad mood but you know what? They weren't. They were. It's like we all knew that somehow we were going to play this game, and we did. We ended up the bus. We left the bus there, and the other team carpooled and came out and got us, and we played the game. And the bus driver ended up. His name is Brandon, and that guy's our hero. I mean, but it ended up just being a coolant hose, which he replaced.
Cool.
So everything was fixed and. We went home we drove to the border that night, and the next day we stayed at a hotel, and the next morning we woke up, and we just got out of Helena, Montana, coming home, and the bus broke down again. And it was the turbo, whatever. Again, it turned out just to be a simple hose, and we got it fixed. But and when we broke down this time, it was in the middle of nowhere, and I mean it was cold. But again, just the attitude on the bus. I mean, it didn't bother them at all. It just
that's
it,
impressive.
Just everybody was, they just stayed positive about everything. And you know, that's a good thing to see, because it just carries on. It carries on in life.
Yeah. Those are the things in hockey that people need to understand, is that that's going to make you a better employee. That's going to make you a better boss. That's going to make you better situated to deal with, you know, challenges that come up in your life when you think you should be on an easy path, whatever your career ends up being. And we know it's less than 1% that get to do something in hockey, you know. Challenges come up, and they've dealt with it. They've been in the middle of nowhere and broken down on a bus and still had to play a game or get home. And now they've met these challenges, and it builds character.
Absolutely. And you could see, you know, 20 years from now, maybe, you know, they could have a situation in their life where, you know, something happens, or, you know, it's whatever the issue may be. And then they look back and they say, you know what? Yeah, you know, they tell their kid, I can remember 20 years ago, we were on a bus in the middle of nowhere and it broke down twice. But this will live with them forever. I mean, this trip, I mean, I've been on a lot of hockey trips, tournaments, you name it. Well, you know, the Weber days, I mean, 13 hours to Phoenix and Tucson and Minot, North Dakota. But this particular trip was, there was just something special about it. And I mean, it was even for me, it's life changing. You know, it's just a great experience to have even an opportunity to be a part of it.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. Joe, tell me a little. So what is the team called? What are you guys?
We're the Vernal Oilers. And
in fact, when we were
discussing the name, Dave Amani came up with the name because, you know, Vernal's an oil town. It's a very conservative town. But it's all oil out there, and what a perfect name for it. And we went with it. We got the logo, and the town was they were excited about the name, actually. So
how does that go? How many fans can you guys get in that building of yours?
We right now you can get about 300. Okay. That's the max. But we get when we play, we get 300. So, I mean, they love the game out there, and you know, all the games are exciting. And you know, the first half of the season, for me, like I before even the season started, I ended up getting COVID, and the COVID led into other issues, and so I wasn't able to coach. And we were lucky enough to in fact, Dave Imani went out, we were lucky enough to get another coach prior to the season, I mean, to help me out. But Nick Camerata. He was from, he's originally from Boston, played D1 NCAA. And, but I'll tell you what, that guy, a lifesaver. I mean, for me to be in the hospital for as long as I have, if it weren't for Nick, I mean, we didn't even know what we would do. I mean, Dave would probably have to coach, you know, he, you know, he's a great guy, and he just did a wonderful job in that first half. And, yeah, you know, we owe him a lot. I mean, it's, you know, but now I'm back and, you know, and helping him out, and he's helping me out. And like I said, when you coach a team, and it's just not about the players coming together, but it's about everybody. I mean, the volunteers, the coaching staff, the owners, general manager. I mean, you get everybody on the same page. And, you know, all the years I've coached, you know, it's always been that way. And, you know, again, it's at the end of the year, it ends up being a special year for everybody. I mean, because you know, all the volunteers, and you know, it's a great experience for them as well.
Yeah, so. It sounds like you're having an amazing season up there. It sounds like you guys are having a lot of growth and a real good opportunity for the people of Vernal to come out and watch some good hockey. That's some, honestly, I knew it was going on because I keep a pretty good contact with Dave, and I play hockey with Dave quite a bit, so I knew it was going. Yep. And I've been wanting to promote it, but it sounds like you guys are just like what's going on with COVID right now and everything else. Everybody's hitting challenge after challenge after challenge. It sounds like you guys are meeting it. coming out of it the other side better than you were going into it?
Absolutely. And you know what's great about that, Jay? It's like it goes back to what you just said. It's it's a learning experience for these kids because, again, with all the challenges that we were faced with this year, not just COVID, but it was almost like every turn something would go wrong. But in the end, I tell these boys, you know what, guys? I said, hey, look, you're going to have the same issues in life. And the thing is, it's like you always have to remember this. There's always a solution, always. You know, it might take longer than others, but you just have to keep going forward, stay positive, and I guarantee you will always find a solution to go on. But the biggest thing is to stay positive. Because you could worry all day long or be negative all day long. That doesn't accomplish anything. I mean, to me, worrying is like a waste of my time. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't make anything appear. You just got to stay positive. You got to move on, move forward. And that's what we're trying to teach these boys. And like I said, they're listening and they're, it's like I said, very special group.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, it's good to hear, man. I'm glad we had the chance to catch up and to find out more about the Vernal Oilers and now your Can-Am League. It sounds like a pretty cool opportunity. How many games do you guys have left this season, and how many are at home?
Well, right now, we have 20. Let's see, five. We have more than that. So this weekend, we're at home against Edmonton for 4 games. And then I believe we're at home again 2 weekends after that. I think it's an exhibition series against a college. I can't remember what college team it is. Might be Utah Valley.
What's the Edmonton team called?
The Edmonton Eagles. Okay. They're actually – and they are from a reservation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Edmonton. And I'll tell you what, but Utah – a very physical team, some big boys, very physical. So after 4 games, you know how it is when you play the same team 3 or 4 times, that last game is going to be, I'm sure, a little bit chippy. After them, we're at home again against Vegreville for 3 and then Cold Lake for 3. So that's 10 home games, and then we got another 5. So how many is that? That's 4, 10. So we got 15 home games left, or 15 games, I mean. Yep.
Well, that's
and then
awesome.
The playoffs are in Cold Lake, so up in Alberta. So what the plan is, our last 5 season games are in Alberta, and we set it up in such a way that we only have to travel there once. So what we're going to do is we'll play those 5 games. It's 5, all 5 different teams. We get a week off and then the playoffs. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay there, practice during the week off, and then play in the playoffs.
Wow. Sounds awesome. All right, yep. Joe. Well, I just, again, I just want to thank you for all that you've contributed to hockey over the past 30, 35 years that you've been helping people out, whether it's finding smucks like me a way to get to play some pro roller hockey, or the coaching that you did at Weber. I know you coached Utah State. I know that you've just always been around and you're always willing to help, and people don't understand how much time that is, especially when it's almost always voluntary and you're not a lot of times you don't get reimbursed for it. So
and the thing, even with me, it's just the passion for the game, and I mean, even my wife, I've been married to her now for 39 years. And I mean, for her to put up with me coaching all the years I've done. And I mean, oh, God bless her. When I retire for good, I got to do something for her.
Yeah, she might not like having you around so much.
Right. Yeah. So, but a great woman.
Perfect. But, well, Joe, I hope everybody comes out and fills that building for all the rest of your games. And I just, again, thank you for everything you've done. It's the Vernal Oilers, and they're coming up this week against Edmonton, not the Oilers, but
the Eagles.
The Eagles. And it'll be a little, it's got to be weird for the Edmonton kids to play another team called the Oilers. That's right.
But I'll tell you what, these will be phenomenal games this weekend. I mean, none of these games are blowouts. I mean, they're, you know, one or two goal games. So it's exciting hockey, and it's exciting for the fans. So
Do you have Utah kids on your roster?
Do we have what now?
Any kids from Utah on your roster?
Yes. And that's what I was going to tell you real quick. I'm glad you brought it up. So we get, so for people that maybe want to understand more about juniors. So the age group for this is mainly now it's 21. We can have 721 year olds. And that had to do with COVID because they canceled the season. So some kids weren't able to finish out their junior career. So, you know, but we get players from all over. I mean, when I recruited, it was, Dave's got a huge European connection, but we have, you know, kids from Russia, Czech Republic, Canada, Alaska, Minnesota, Michigan, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania. They're from all over. But the great thing is we get kids, we got four local kids from Vernal itself. I mean, that's how far hockey has come in Utah, because I'm telling you that the talent level in Vernal for the local kids, the local players, it's unreal. Yeah. Unreal. Impressive for sure.
I know they've been doing a good job of bringing coaches up there. Like my son and I used to go up there and run goalie clinics, and they were always trying to find ways to get coaching up there for their kids, that they really kind of maximize the ice time that they could use with these coaches, right, too, instead of just driving down here all the time or whatever, driving to Colorado. They're very smart up there about the way they're trying to organize their coaching.
Yeah, it has come a long way, because I remember going when I was coaching Golden Spike. I think we were coaching Squirts at the time, and we went to Vernal, and I want to say it was an outdoor rink at one point. Yeah, it's just like if you remember Kearns, before the Oval, that was outdoor.
Yep.
And they always used to do the winter. You remember the winter games, and
yeah, the Utah winter games.
Matt Brickley used to run all that. God bless him, and he did such a great job. But I'll tell you this one little story, and then if you have to go, I'll let you go real quick. But I remember coaching Golden Spike, and it was Squirts, and this was back in '95. Yeah, it was 1995, and I remember there was four sport teams. And we were the only team that didn't have a goaltender, and they wouldn't let us use any of their other goaltenders. And so I went home and I asked my son, Nick. I said, "Hey, Nick, you want to play hockey?" And he says, "Okay, Dad." I think he was 11, 10, came out, played, and we lost that game 11-0. He came, and when we went in the locker room, my son said to me, he says, "Dad, that was the most fun I ever had in my life." And that kind of puts everything in perspective, because in the end, that's what it's all about.
Right.
Just working hard and having fun, man.
we lose sight of that. And I beg other people that are coaches. And I would tell people, like, you know, there are a couple of years that I lost sight of it. But as I'm coaching and as I bring in coaches to run my clinic, I tell them, teach them. But at the end of the day, make sure that they have more passion for the game than they did when they got here. Like my job was to coach. My job was to teach you skills. But I felt like it was my obligation to not ruin the game for you by yelling and screaming and being unrealistic. But
absolutely. You know what, Jay, that solves nothing. And the thing is, every game, every kid is going to make a mistake on the ice. And that's to be expected. And when they come off the ice, to holler at them when they make that mistake, it doesn't do any good. Because number one, you know, as a coach, that's your job, is when they make a mistake, is to help them correct that mistake. And 9 out of 10 times when that player comes off the ice, first off, they already know they made a mistake. But 9 out of 10 times, they actually know what they need to do to fix it. So they don't need you to just, you know what I mean?
Right.
Down there hollering. You know,
they didn't go out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't go out there with malice in their heart, meaning to do the wrong play or hurt the team or whatever. It's always a learnable moment, a coachable moment. It's never a moment to punish. But absolutely. it takes maturity as a coach to realize that for sure.
Yeah. And you know, you want to instill confidence in these kids because, I mean, the thing is this, and I'm sure you've seen it, but you know, when you get kids coming up through these youth programs, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-olds, and if you can't make it a great experience for them and teach them the basics and the fundamentals of the game, because some coaches get so caught up in winning that they forget all about that and they don't care about it. But in the end is, if you don't make it a great experience for these young men or young kids, by the time they get to midgets, they quit. And I've seen players out there that their skill was unreal and they left the game at Bantam and midget because they didn't have fun with it anymore. Yep. And again, you're right. Some of the coaches have gotten away from that and they just need to be reminded of it and get back to what the game is all about. And that's, again, teaching these kids at whatever age level they're at, the fundamentals, the basics, and even at the junior level, to develop them so they're able to play at the highest level possible and make it a great experience for them. But forget about the winning and losing. It's not about that, because the winning will take care of itself.
Right. 100%.
For sure.
Okay, Flager. Well, again, good luck this weekend. Just wanted to, one more time, we'll talk about it. Up in Vernal Oilers, Junior A hockey against the Edmonton Eagles. And, I mean, a town like Vernal's had to have been begging for this for years. They finally have it. And hopefully it's a sellout and everything is a success for you guys the rest of the year and you just continue to grow this program.
Absolutely. And that's our plan, buddy. Appreciate you letting me come on today.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for being here. And that is the Utah Puck Report.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.